This is the Agribusiness Report. Today, we'll hear from Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Held a phone press conference with reporters on Tuesday. That's coming up in just a moment. First off, Chris Spear is president and CEO of the American Trucking Association, testifying recently before a House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee.
I drove many instances across the country. We have a home in Wyoming. Seeing those billboards out in the cornfields thanking a trucker. Mm-hmm. Seeing the banners fly off the overpasses. Our drivers getting off an interstate and being met by a police officer to escort them to where they can get a hot meal and a shower. Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, church groups handing out baked goods at rest areas. Our image climbed to a level not even known possible.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Today, Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. He held a telephone press conference on Tuesday morning and started with...
Every year this week, we have what we title National Agriculture Day. Iowa's 86,000 families work hard each day to produce the food, fiber, and fuel for the rest of America. You all know that farmers make up less than 2% of our population, yet through their hard work, they provide for the other 98%. I will continue to work each day so farmers of all sizes have a seat at the table when it comes to the farm bill and other important bills that impact our farmers. One example of a bill I'm going to introduce this week is called the Next Generation Fuels Act. The bill was in last session and didn't get passed. The Next Generation Fuel Act would establish a minimum research octane number. It would be 98 for gasoline, which is much higher than the typical octane of 91. It also requires the added octane value to reduce carbon emissions by at least 40% compared to regular gasoline. This means higher blends of ethanol will be required. We know Americans will continue to rely on gasoline and internal combustion engine for decades to come, regardless of this administration's push for electric vehicles. My bipartisan bill will allow consumers to continue to use the cars they now drive and do it in a way that has lower carbon and lower cost fuel. And it will also expand the ethanol market for America's biofuel producers. Iowa's number one in ethanol production, and 43,000 jobs are at stake. It's going to enhance that industry tremendously.
And on the topic of a National Ag Day, what's the real importance of recognizing agriculture, farmers, ranchers, and foresters on this day?
Well, I think if you know, it's when we go to the supermarket, we can buy almost anything we want. And when we sit down, we don't have to worry about having food at the table. And we have government programs that fill in for those that maybe don't have the money to buy what they need for an adequate diet. And all this comes from the farms of America. And it's something that has two aspects, as far as I'm concerned, that are very important and not talk about. One is food is national security issue as much as it is a food security issue, because you got to be able to feed your military if you're in battle. And secondly, there's an old saying that we're 9 meals away from a revolution. In other words, if you couldn't feed your family for 3 full days and didn't know where you're going to get it on the 4th day, you'd take almost any action you could take, including maybe rioting to get the food, because we have rioting in other countries, particularly where rice is short or rice is very high expenditure. So it proves that if you want to have a social cohesion and peaceful society, the abundance of food is very important.
Now, Waters of the U.S., or WOTUS, is back to the front burner. It's a headline issue now. What's the message to farmers moving forward?
Well, I only have a really concrete answer for Iowa farmers, because we have a map put out by Iowa Farm Bureau that 97% of the land will be regulated by EPA and the Corps of Engineers. You don't know how much anxiety that brings to farmers of Iowa. And we can't stand for that sort of government control over agriculture that it could imply. And you know, when you have a law in effect and bureaucrats want to move, they move. And if you don't like it, you have to fight them and spend a lot of money. So you usually can't afford that. So you end up just accepting their judgment. And that's not the way American agriculture has prospered. One thing that holds out, I'm going to talk about a couple of things, but one thing that is going to probably modify this is a couple Supreme Court decisions that will come down by the end of June. And I think that's going to curtail the massive government regulation that comes from the Biden, and it was also similar to the Obama WOTUS regulations. The other thing is, we do have some action that Congress is going to take in the next couple weeks through what we call the Congressional Review Act, which is an opportunity for Congress to show our disapproval of this regulation, and hopefully we'll have the votes to pass it. And so I look forward to expressing my opinion on that vote on the Congressional Review Act. In other words, I will vote to disapprove of WOTUS.
Now, President Biden is not going to support that Review Act designation, so really, what happens from this point forward as far as WOTUS?
Yeah. Well, don't forget, a Texas judge is already, for the state of Texas and Idaho, declared it. Well, I don't know how he made his decision, but he said that it's invalid and is holding it up in those states. And then don't forget, in the 15 and 16 year era, several courts, including at least one circuit court, put a national injunction against it. And then I think the Supreme Court case is going to make such of an impact. But my vote will show Biden's bipartisan rejection of the rule. And I think it's important that he knows that it doesn't have, the support that he thinks it has. In other words, it's Congress's way of saying EPA's not following the law.
Turning from Waters of the U.S. to the Farm Bill and writing the next Farm Bill, there's a debt ceiling fight, maybe less money. So how to move it forward?
I think you have to go ahead, you have to bull ahead, write the Farm Bureau policy, put in what you think are reasonable numbers, and if they're too high, you'll have to dial them back once a top line comes down.
Writing the Farm Bill with less money means getting it to the right people. A big proponent in the past for tighter payment limits, and that idea has been floated to Ag Secretary Vilsack.
Well, at least what he said about the big farmer having the capability of withstanding any shock, whether it's natural disaster or politics or international trade or war, all those things and more affect the farmer that he doesn't have any control over. That's the basis for proceeding to have a payment cap and targeting towards the medium and small farmers. So I consider his statement very positive towards what I'm trying to accomplish with payment limitations. Beyond that, it's hard for me to interpret exactly what sort of policies he was promoting with the rest of his statement. But we should have a farm safety net, but that shouldn't be a hammock for the biggest producers.
Now, over on the House side, it appears as though some on the Republican side might be looking to tighten up food assistance programs, reclaim some money there.
Well, I haven't studied the House proposals at this point. I don't think they're very much in concrete at this point, so they can change a lot. But when it comes to the Senate, and I think I brought this out, a $250 billion increase in food stamps that come as a result of changes that were made because of the pandemic and the national health emergency is going to be over on May the 11th. We go back to the pre-pandemic baseline of food stamps and add for population increase and inflation, and that's about all it should be. And that frees up a lot of money that Democrats are hoping to spend that there's no justification for spending, and we can either save that or use it someplace else in the farm bill.
So does this mean just cuts to nutrition programs? Could there be other areas that could be cut as well? And is there any place that's sacred at this point in the farm bill?
Well, listen, when I talk just about the food stamp program, I'm not saying that anything else in the farm bill is sacred except maybe crop insurance. One of the things we got to do to save money is make sure that farm payments don't go to anybody that's not what you call actively engaged in the business of farming.
Iowa Republican Senator, member of the Senate Ag Committee, Chuck Grassley. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Life doesn't come with guarantees, but working with Rob Seco comes pretty close. Our strategic investments in the seed we offer are designed to directly improve your bottom line. From full trait platforms, breeding and development, to field-by-field planning and seed-driven crop inputs, with Rob Seco, you have precisely what you need to improve plant performance and increase yield. Every farm, every crop, and every acre. Learn more at robseco.com.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Iowa Republican Senator Chuck Grassley.
I'm Tucker Brown, a sixth-generation rancher, and I plan on seeing you at the 2023 Hemp Hill County Beef Cattle Conference, April 25th and 26th in Canadian, Texas, sponsored by Capital Farm Credit. As a young rancher, there are many challenges, and this event gives me powerful information, resources, and network opportunities to keep the ranch in the family and the family in the ranch. Register today online at Hemp Hill County Beef Conference website or call 806-323-9114.
There's a tradition down here in the South, a tradition of hard work, a tradition of straight talk. For more than 100 years, Delta Pine Cotton has been a proud part of that tradition. With proven yield potential and genetics you won't find anywhere else, Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with Strong Cotton from Delta Pine Brand. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley talking about waters of the U.S. We'll talk more about that tomorrow with NCBA.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Life doesn't come with guarantees, but working with Rob Seco comes pretty close. Our strategic investments in the seed we offer are designed to directly improve your bottom line. From full trait platforms, breeding and development, to field-by-field planning and seed-driven crop inputs, with Rob Seco, you have precisely what you need to improve plant performance and increase yield. Every farm, every crop, and every acre. Learn more at robseco.com.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report.
U.S. Forest Service personnel, like Forest Fuels Officer Stephen Fillmore, are busy with prescribed fire treatments to curb wildfire activity, even in the wintertime, and even in places not accustomed to heavy snows.
I'm scheduled to be a burn boss on a burn that right now is under probably 3 feet of snow in the Laguna Mountains.
The Laguna Range in San Diego County, California, as the first day of spring fast approaches. Fillmore says wintertime prescribed burning has occurred for several years now, with planning for such burns taking place months in advance.
In the wintertime, it's definitely easier because the environmental conditions are such that it's less likely for a prescribed fire to escape.
He adds there's not much difference in planning a prescribed burn, no matter what time of year it is scheduled. The goal is the same, reducing fire fuels in a prescribed method to prevent potential wildfire from breaking out. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.